We're talking about faith for meeting your needs, and go along with Pastor Ken. I don't want to seem like we're trying to, you know, come down on you this way, but we're trying to help you. And so I haven't taught on this for a long, long time. So this is the second part of what I didn't do last time, which is probably going to be a seven-part series anyway. So let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24. We're talking, of course, about faith and finances and faith for meeting your financial needs. And we need to believe God, right? So this is, faith is always what we use for everything. So it says, for verily I say to you that whosoever, and we always say, how many whosoever's we have, and we say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. In other words, you're going to be speaking to your mountain. If it's a financial mountain, then you speak to it, not about it, and tell it, pet it, and tell it how great it is. Be thou removed. That's the financial burden. And be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's your heart is your inner man. But shall believe, that is with your inner man, your heart, that those things which you said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. So you can't be doubting. You have to believe with your heart. That believing with your heart means you're believing with your spirit. That's without any outside evidence, without feeling. If you feel broke, it has nothing to do. If you look broke and you actually are broke, it has nothing to do with what you're believing, amen, what you have. So you have to start. You could start with zero. So you shall believe. What do you believe? You have to believe those things which you said. In other words, you have to believe in your own words, which is based on the scripture. Yes. You don't just believe anything. You have to believe with your heart, without evidence, what's the word saying. That's what you have to believe. We're going to show you what to believe because the scripture says that. You have to believe what you say is going to come to pass. Then you'll have whatever you say. You know, they call us to believe it, they claim it bunch. Thank God, keep saying it because I'm getting it. Amen. It's, you know, so we'll skip verse 24 for now, and we'll go right into something. I want to talk to you about faith working by just saying. So I'm telling you, you don't have to pray for finances. Just find the scriptures on it and say, this belongs to me. Thank God it's mine. Just say it. Open up your wallet or open up your phone and speak to your. That's what I did. I walked around here today. I walked around in this auditorium for about an hour, and I spoke to my finances. I spoke to the church's finances. I spoke to the Spirit of Life finances. I said, we're never going to lack anything. This church doesn't lack anything. The people here don't lack anything. Everybody has a job in here. Everybody has a house, an apartment. Everybody has a car if they want to. Praise God. Amen? That's what I say. I don't know what you're saying, but I'm saying what I'm saying here. And you can't do anything without being blessed. You're not a blessing if you're going to just hang around and look at the wall. Amen? So I quoted these scriptures last time. It'll be helpful us to record them again. Proverbs 22:7 says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant of the lender. Now, you don't want to always be borrowing money. You always be owing. You want to be the guy who lends the money, not the one who's borrowing. Amen? Because you're a servant. You're a slave to whoever gives you the money. Amen? So the wealth, Proverbs 10:15, the wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. Because you ain't going nowhere if you don't have something. Because God wants us to have something. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. Some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. Well, it's a parable there. But, you know, you don't want to be the guy who pretends. You want to have it the real, eh? Praise God. Love of money. Anybody love money? Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people craving after money wandered from their true faith and pierced himself with many sorrows. If you're just going to run after finances alone, you know, you're going to feel bad. Something's going to happen to you. Money shouldn't be the main thing. You know, when we get a job, it's not all about money. It's about what you love to do. I was in a meeting last week where they're talking about finances all weekend, part of my work. And people complaining about, you know, I want more than this. And every place is different, right? There's so much to say about that. But, you know, the thing about it is we do things because we love things. We love to work what we're doing. If you want money, then you have to find another job. And do something different, all right? So, you know, it's not all about money. It's about being happy in life. Amen. Being happy about what you're doing. So there's people with money that they're not happy. Money doesn't make you all perfectly happy. It's nice to have it. It just makes you happy a little bit, but it's not going to solve everything, right? So, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, but he has no sorrow with it. Thank God for that. Now, I want to go and say here with my introduction again that some people don't have enough faith to meet their needs, especially when they face financial challenges in life. I don't know if you're in that bracket. You're struggling. You know, they say people struggle from paycheck to paycheck, and people say, studies say that people are only two or three checks away from the street. You know, and so if your job stops and all of a sudden you find yourself, you don't have enough. So what we're endeavoring to do is get the word to you so that you're not going to be afraid, that God will meet your needs, all your needs. Amen. So many are at a place where they can't meet their basic needs, but we have to understand about this, what happens. We need to look at two things. Number one is what you believe. What do you believe about finances and God and faith? What do you believe about that? Check on it. If you don't understand something, we'll teach you what the scripture says. Number two, you have to check yourself on a natural point. If you're somebody who just recklessly with your money and you're blaming the devil, the devil's not the problem. You're the devil. You're the one that's to blame. You're spending the money, not him. And it's not God not giving you. Why would God give you more if you're just reckless with money? Amen. He's not going to give you money because you're just playing around, gambling, buying cigarettes and smoking and gambling and whatever, and just spending money on shoes. You got enough shoes. Amen. You don't need any more shoes. Okay, so listen, I feel like I'm stepping on toes, but sometimes you have to get people's attention a little bit, okay? So here's the thing about it. You need to get a budget and live with your budget and don't spend money over what you can afford. So and then you got to give God something, to give him something to work with. And so when you give God money, like when I look at tithing and offering, I think about that I'm investing in God's kingdom. And he's my partner, my business partner. And he'll supply all my needs. This year I checked my finances. It's incredible what God will do in your life. And I was surprised what my finances looked like. Didn't have much. I mean, I survived. But I made more than I ever thought. Because God supplies all my need. Amen. But I give here, you know, and I sow seed here every Sunday, every Wednesday. I give money. My wife and I have been doing that for years. So we give to the things of God and to the ministry. We sow seed into the ministry. If you're mad at me because I'm talking about the budget, then there's something wrong with you. Not me. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you how to live right. Your mother and dad should have taught you this. You should have a budget. Don't just buy your kids everything because they need to work for some of that stuff. Don't just buy them an expensive iPhone. They're only 14 years old or 10 years old. You buy them an iPhone, and that's all you're doing. You're not teaching them something. Right, Ernie? You got to buy a bucket of chicken tonight? Share some of that tonight. Amen? So I'm trying to teach you some things. You got to have a budget. Amen. Right? So my wife and I have a budget. We started our marriage like that, and we said, okay, here's our finances, and you don't spend money unless you call me. And I don't spend money unless I call you if it's going to be over our budget. And so we have to be in agreement with it. That's the same way I do here with this church. I don't tell the people unless the Lord tells me, and I let the people know that we're going to buy such and such a item or property over the budget. So the church gives me a certain level of spending, and I say I don't ever go over it. I hardly ever go over it. Years and years and years. I don't have to pay over what I got. I stay within the budget. I took somebody around here this afternoon, showed them all the property, what we got, and what we started with, and what we have now. This is not, government never funded this place. We never got no provincial funds or anything. We didn't get any federal money. But we paid for this ourselves. You and I did it. We paid for whatever we got here. The chairs you're sitting on, the lights we have. I mean, that's because people come and give, praise God. Amen? I mean, you enjoy that. The Bible says when you give, there's somebody that's going to start praising God because you've been such a blessing. Amen. Amen. We just had a good time. The Spirit of God moved in here earlier, anointing. I was walking around here today, and I said, Lord, just move in a special way here. I just pray that you're by your Spirit, that there'll be such an anointing. The musicians will be bold, and the singers will be bold, and all the ushers will be happy. And whoever preaches or get up and say something is going to be boldness here. There'll be anointing here that everybody can enjoy. Praise God. Amen. So I walk up and down here for an hour just praying in the Holy Ghost, praying for you. Because that's what I'm paid to do. I pray, praise God, amen? Because some people can enjoy it. I do that almost every day. Not exactly in this building right here, but I do it regularly, maybe more than my time here. But this is what we have to do. So here's something you need to understand. And Psalm 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd. We will not lack for anything. He supplies. The Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. That's what Psalm 23 says. So we're living in Psalm 23 right now. Psalm 23 is for us right now. Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, he's your shepherd, and you'll never lack anything. I don't know what you believe, but you need to believe that. So understand what the scriptures say, and understand yourself and what you value about money, what you think about money. So here's another scripture for you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:7, now God supplies all your needs. That's your house, whatever you need, food, clothing, you need all that. You need stuff. There's certain things that are called needs. There are some other things that's just called wants, desires. Like you don't have to drive a high-level car. You can have a donkey if you want. But we don't have donkeys around. But you can have any kind of car you want. But some people believe they want to believe for more. Then let them believe for more. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, don't look at them and say, well, it's they have, Chevy faith and whatever. And everybody has their own desire, right? So here's something for you. 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, teach those who are rich in the world not to be proud. It seems to be that some people with money are proud, according to the scripture, and not to trust in money, which is unreliable. Right. If you notice something, if you made investments, you notice that your money goes up and down, and you wonder where your money went. You look back again, your investments, it's all gone down. There's been times in my life where I look at my investments, hey, where's that money? You know. So, and then it says here, they should trust in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. That God gives you things to enjoy. So not just needs, but he'll give you stuff to enjoy. I mean, let's believe God for just you can have extra money you can enjoy. Amen. That you can play with, enjoy money. Anybody enjoying something here? Praise God. So, and we look at Philippians 4:19. It says, God shall supply half of my needs. No. Amen. Three quarters of the needs. Or only the important ones? Or only the small ones? Huh? Only when the income tax comes in? No? He supplies only if the conservatives are in. Is that what it is? Or the liberals? Is that it? No, somebody asked me, what do you think about it? I don't think nothing of the government. I don't look at the government to meet my needs. I look at the Bible and Jesus and God. That's what I look at. I'm not afraid of the conservatives or the liberals or anybody else concerning that matter. The Lord says he'll supply you even in famine. So that's what you got to come to at some point. Amen. I'm happy with whatever the government's right now. Thank God, you know. Some people, what if the conservatives win? Then all the people who voted liberal will be mad. Or the bloc or whatever. Well, hey, listen, let's believe God. Let's pray for them and they do the right thing. Praise God. Amen. Sorry about that. I'm going to cut this off. This shouldn't be on there. You know, I just have an opinion about some things. You know, I mean, I don't care who's in. You could have, whoever. Praise God. Amen. So anyway, Philippians 4:19 says, that scripture in context is for people who give money into the ministry. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all my needs. If you read that in context, it's talking about people who give to God's missions or ministry. He says, he talks about them, and if you read the whole letter, the book of Philippians, the Philippian church was a partner to this man called Paul in his missionary journeys. They supplied when other churches couldn't supply them, so they gave to him, and he tells them, because you've given, God will supply all your needs. That's the context. True, God does supply all your needs. Contextually, that's talking about those who give. You can guarantee yourself, you give to this church, you can put it and believe God that God will supply your needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So, in Genesis 17:1, God appeared to a man called Abraham when he was 99 years old, and he said, I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The Hebrew word, which means he's the God that's more than enough. We sang a song here, he is more than enough. Remember we just sang that song and Pastor Ken got excited and my wife got excited. She started prophesying. Spirit of God came upon her. And she started, I told her, you better get up and start dancing. So, the anointing was here. It's nice when it's juicy like that. You can do almost anything. Huh? You can have Donald Duck come up here and preach. He'll sounds good. He'll be quacking away. Oh, what a wonderful quack. What a wonderful time. So El Shaddai, it means he's a God that's more than enough. That's what he said. It's not just for Abraham and those Israelites. It's a type and shadow of us. God is more than enough for us. He's not just enough. He's more than enough for you. I'll show you this in the New Testament. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life, that's Zoe, or the God kind of life, that they might have it more abundantly. Everybody say, more abundantly. More abundantly. So he said, more abundantly. If you look up the word abundantly or abundant, it means rich. It means full supply. That's what the Amplified Bible says. He said, I'll supply you with more than you can have. More abundantly. That's what you got to believe. You can't just say, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. That's good. No, you got to take it and say, yeah, that's from me. And say, thank God. You know, he's supplying more than enough. I say it every morning. And I say that this church, Faith City Church, has more than enough supply. We can do whatever God tells us to do. We got more than enough money for Running Spirit Alive television. Amen. Thank God. Amen? So, abundantly means rich, full supply. I remember Brother Hagin talking to us. He said when Jesus appeared to him, one of the visions, he said, I'm not opposed for my people getting rich or having abundance. He said, what I don't like is having abundance, having them. And you're just consumed with stuff. And he said in the 80s there that, 90s, and some of the ministers got off, and they started emphasizing money more than the things of God. And he wrote a book called Midas Touch to put the church back in line. We need to have a right perspective, right? We don't give God so that we can multiply. This is not a slot machine. This is about if we love God, we bring because we love God, we want to serve God, right? So the devil has stolen from the church through his deception and through persecution and through pressures, lies about the things of God. You know, the people say things about us, and other people like Brother Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and different ones who preach this. And there is excess in the church. But there is a middle road, right? There's some preachers who have gone the other way across. Brother Hagin tried to bring them back in. I remember when I was in Rhema in 1989, Brother Hagin brought all those ministers in. All the top ministers in the United States, he brought them into Rhema, and I saw them coming in. Different ones that you see on television, he said, you guys need to come back to the middle. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't overemphasize finances. You get the people in trouble, get the church in trouble, get in trouble. And yes, they got into trouble. But he never taught this way. He never emphasized money. And whenever he went preaching somewhere, he never asked for a certain kind of money. He just said, "This, if you bring me in, I'm believing God for my money." They say, we can't have you. We don't have. Well, no, I'm coming because I'm believing God. Hallelujah. So the devil has stolen people, stolen from the church in the area. You know, we can either go over the other side. We're just emphasizing stuff and money. The other side, we go and emphasize on the other end that we shouldn't have anything. Well, we know that's not right. We got to have something. You can't just be running around poor. If the church is poor here, what are we going to do? How are we going to run a television? How are we going to keep the lights on? And I'm believing everybody should be blessed financially so that they can make a contribution here. Thank God. The church is crippled when it's underfunded, when we don't have what we need to do. So God showed Abraham he provides, and he is Jehovah Jireh, our divine supplier. He revealed to Abraham that he's Israel's supplier, he's our supplier. And if we are the people of God, like Paul says in Galatians, we are Abraham's, we are the children of faith like Abraham. Over here it says here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 27, 29, he says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So whatever he told Abraham, he told us that. I remember when I was at Rhema, and I asked the Lord, so Lord, why'd you bring me to Rhema? I could have stayed in Canada, and the money is 27 cents, just like it is now. We went to Rhema. I didn't want to go because the money was low. Our dollar was very low, and thank God the money, the living was a little bit cheaper. And I was asking them, why did you send me here? He said, because God wants you to teach faith. So when Brother Hagin said, when Jesus appeared to him, pointed at me, he says, When I told you, kneel before me and put your hands out, and I pointed at you, he says, I told you to go teach my people faith. And in that class, he said, when Jesus pointed at me, he's pointed at you, every Rhema grad right here. He's told you to teach my people faith. So our vision and what we have to do here in this church, not only just talk about faith, but live it so that everybody will see how blessed you are in health, in your mentality, in your family, in your lifestyle, and so on and so forth, right? So we need to believe God. Now, every one of us has challenges. Every one of us has challenges, physical challenges. You look at me, you don't think I have any challenges. Well, you might not see on the outside, but I do have challenges. I'm standing for things for myself. No one's perfect. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So all who have been united with Christ and baptism have put on Christ is like putting on new clothes. Verse 28, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now you belong to Jesus or Christ. You are true children of Abraham. You are heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Doesn't that mean something to you? Whatever he told Abraham, he said, I'm El Shaddai. So he's El Shaddai to you. He's God's more than enough to you. And so we see in Galatians 3:14 and 13:14, he says that Christ has redeemed us from the law. So if you don't tithe, God's not going to curse you. You're not going to be under a curse if you don't tithe. You'll be as blessed as you can believe you're blessed. You know, but tithing ties you up with God as a partner. And then he'll bless you. He promises to bless you. You know, it's amazing. You know, It's a faith. It's about faith. Believe God, and when you're tired, you believe in God that He's going to make up. You'll do more with 90% than you would 100% on your own. He'll multiply your giving. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you believe that, but I do believe it. He's met my needs, and I'm a tither, and I'm a giver. Not because I'm forced to. There's nobody holding a gun to my head saying, you got to tithe, and I don't believe that God's going to curse me. I believe God's my partner. And when I partner with Him and bring them that 10% and plus give offerings, I'm blessed. I don't worry about money. I don't worry about the conservatives or the liberals or anybody else. I believe God.
Amen.
Amen. And we are supposed to pray for the government. That they'll do right, and God will go into their minds and make them right in their hearts and make them make the decision they need to make.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Anyway, Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 48 says, if you serve the Lord your God, is that the right verse? Deuteronomy 28, verse 47? If you serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, for the abundant benefits you've received, how many of you have received abundant blessings? Then you need to start acting happy. Don't just say, I need more. Well, then you need to believe more, right? Okay, so you will serve you will benefit you receive, you will serve your enemies whom you, the Lord will send against you. Okay, if you do not serve the Lord with your joy and enthusiasm, the abundance and blessings of receive, you will serve your enemies. Now, verse 48 says this. This is talking about the curse of the law. We don't want to live under the curse. We want to live under the blessing, right? So he says, you'll be left hungry. How many of you are hungry tonight? You look like you're well fed. Thirsty, I see you're drinking water and all that stuff. Some of you, and naked. You all got clothes on. But we wouldn't let you in here if you didn't have any. And lacking in everything. That's the curse. So we want to live under the blessing. The Lord said, if you obey me, that's what's going to happen. But if you don't, you're the one that's responsible for your decisions. So, serving God reaps benefits. We need to be grateful and thankful and remember the benefits. Now, listen to this over here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 2. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all His commandments I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Thank God that we can experience the blessings of God. Verse 11, the Lord will give you prosperity. People are afraid of that word, prosperity. I'll say it again, prosperity. He said, the Lord will give you prosperity in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. Blessings with you, with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. Well, I'm not a farmer. I don't live agriculturally, but you can translate that in a different way. Praise God. Amen? A bunch of Frenchies. I got a bunch of Frenchies. They're not livestock, but you know what I'm saying? So prosperity. King James Version says this. The Lord will give you prosperity. The King James says the Lord will give you plenteous in goods. The Amplified Classical says surplus of prosperity. Is that scaring you? No. Common English says, make things abound for you. That's our English language, right? Message Bible says, lavish you with good things. You got any good things at your house, or everything is just rubbish? Huh? You got some good things at home. Well, the Lord bless you with that. Amen. Well, start smiling and thank God for that old coat you haven't worn for a long time that you promised to fit into. Because you're so blessed, you can't even fit into those blessed clothes anymore. NIV says, grant you abundant prosperity. Amen? No, I'm not against anybody that's, got a little bit chubby. I'm not against it. I love everybody. I'm just saying that sometimes we eat lots of food. Sometimes it's different things come into play. Dear friend, all I hope is well with you. 3 John 1 and 2. All is well with you. All is well with you means that everything's good with you. You good, man? You good? Yes, I'm good. You know, when you don't, if you're lacking in everything, your bills are not paid, all is not well with you. If you're lacking car payment, that's not well with you. If your car is breaking apart, that's not all well with you. You drive an old car because you have to. You know, I don't drive an old car because I don't have to. You know, I drive a good car. Amen. But I'm also frugal with my money. I don't want to give everybody away my money. Praise God. Amen. I give the, you know. Anyway, he says, all will be well with you. Well, we want to be well. So we want to live in that place where everything's good with us. Are you guys thinking about this while I'm talking, or are you just mad at me? Because some of you are looking down like this. Okay, are you okay? Are you guys okay? Say, I'm okay. Okay, so, I mean, you know, we'll get to that bucket later. Everybody said, never lack. Deuteronomy 28, 11 and 12 says this, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury. I want a rain of goods come upon me. How about you? In the heavens, and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you'll never need to borrow from them. Amen. Well, people say, well, you know, listen, I need, can you give me 20 till Friday? I've heard, I don't know how many times I've heard that, you know? If, you know what, you know, just want to give me a little extra here, you know? So, why can't you make till Thursday? Just wait till Thursday. Because you're going to be 20% more. I'm going to charge the 20%. And if you don't pay me, I'll break your car or something. Anyway, so look back. Let's look at back. Abraham, he did say, God told Abraham back there. He says, you know, I'm El Shaddai. El Shaddai. So the story of Abraham shows that God is our provider. He's our portion, as he said. He provides, that Jesus provides for us all we need. Notice this over here, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading King James Version. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. He didn't say that you might become poorer, that you become rich. The word rich means full supply, abundantly blessed. King James, you know, the King James Version says you might be rich, right? So the Amplified Classical says abundantly supplied. Topical Bible says rich beyond measure. Rich beyond measure. That's what it says for this verse of Scripture. And we need to start believing that. That I'm going to make Thursday, praise God. That my check is not going to run out until even it's going to go way over. Weeks and weeks and weeks go by that I still have extra cash, amen? What do you want? Let's say, hey, what do you want? What did you want, that car payment? Okay, come here. I got what have I got here? I don't even have my wallet here. Sorry, I'm like Peter and John going to the house of prayer, and the man says, give me some money. He says, I don't have any money right now. But here, have some healing. Amen. Amen? I left my car, you know, in my camel back there. So anyway, don't forget God. Everybody said, don't forget God. So what happens to people is that they get blessed. They come to church, and they start looking good, smelling good, smiling and everything else. But they forget God after. They get blessed. I know. I've been there. And the Lord had to tell me, poke me on the shoulder, said, listen, you said that you'd sow seed here. Oh, no. So I asked the Lord, give me a big seed. And he gave me a big seed, but I didn't want to give him. When I got the money, I didn't want to give him anything. Come on. So he was able to give me. So Deuteronomy 28:18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power, is to give thee power or the ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers. So we're part of that. That's what we're doing, establishing his covenant, establishing, you know, the ministry God's given us so that we can go out there and present the gospel to people. So remember this, Exodus chapter 12 and 36, that God caused the Egyptians to favor the Israelites. You and I have favor. We got to believe God for favor. That wherever you work, they say, you know what? You got 12 workers here, but I'm going to bless you. You're going to, I want you to start first. And we want to, we're writing checks today, and you get the first one. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 105, verse 37, remember this. The Lord brought the people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold, the Bible says here. Psalm 105, verse 37, not one among the tribes even stumbled. Loaded with silver and gold. You say, come on here, Pastor. Come out in the backyard. I want to show you something. My car is loaded with silver and gold in there.
Hallelujah.
Silver and gold. This looks like cans. You should get all these cans, pop bottles. I thought you said you got silver back here. But you know what? You can just believe God, because I was going to get into this, but time's running out here. About this, that God owns everything. And we're partnering with God, and we need to believe God with him. Now, let me tell you what happens. This is the downfall about the whole thing. You want to know everything? I'm telling you everything else. God bless you. But on the other hand, everybody say, on the other hand. Let me show you something here. I was just looking at that. I was praying and prophesying to myself this afternoon. The Lord says to me, he downloaded a few things. And I won't tell you everything, but I'll tell you something. He says, to tell the people that God wants you blessed beyond measure. Write this down, number one. That God wants you to be blessed beyond measure. I read the scriptures for you. Yeah. That God wants me to be blessed beyond measure. In other words, you don't want to just have enough for yourself. You want more than enough so that you can be generous. But if you're not there yet, you're going to ask God for seed. Say, Lord, give me seed, and he'll give some to you for your consumption. Then he'll give some for the ministry, for his work. And then you'll start growing. That's called a budget. Okay? So now, the second thing you need to know is this. So God wants me to be blessed beyond measure. The second thing is this. Don't be uninformed. Let me just translate it to Faith City version. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid about faith and money. Learn about what God wants you to know in his word about faith and money. How to get it. If you can believe it. Can I believe it? Can I have it? Then look in the Bible. God told Abraham, I'm the God that's more than enough. And if Galatians says, I'm with Abraham, then it belongs to me too. Go walk around your house and say, thank God you supply all my needs. I remember listening to way back there, a story of, you know, this pastor who's famous on television and everybody hates him because he's blessed, young man. He said, my wife and I would go sit in the biggest hotel. And we'd dream. We said, thank God, you know, we can have this. We'll drive down a nice home area. And say, thank God for my place. I got a place like this. You know, and just dream a little bit. Allow yourself to dream. And the devil has stolen people's dreams through deception and lies. So number two, don't be uninformed. Know what's in the Bible. Number three, know your enemy, the devil, is opposing the blessings that's coming your way. Know that the enemy is going to do all he can so you won't get blessed. He'll do whatever he can to keep you in a state of poverty mentality and loss. And if you're losing stuff, get after the enemy. Tell me, you get your hands off my money. Get your hands off my funds right here. And start speaking to your bank account. Remember it says there, you speak to your mountain. If that bank account's not full, you say, thank God, money is in there, money's coming in Jesus' name. Now, you might think I'm crazy because Jesus talked to He talked to a lot of things. He talked to mountains. He talked to trees. He talked about different things. And it happened. Whatever you say will come to pass. Even people who are not Christians believe that. They say, I'm speaking out to the universe. And it's coming. And it comes. Because they speak something. They use their faith. And they're not Christians. I have good friends who believe that. They say, I'm speaking out to the universe, putting it out there. Where do you get that from? Well, the Bible talks about that. They have a version of it, right? Here's another one. Not only the devil is opposing you to have those blessings, but we have angels who are here to help us bring the blessings in. Put the angels to work. Why? How? Well, I'll begin to start talking. They'll talk. They'll follow what you say. We'll see. We'll show you that at another time. We don't have time tonight because there's, you know, things are happening tonight after the game here. Here's another thing you have to do. Line up your thinking with God's thoughts. Think like God. And talk like God. The next one is remember to speak right. Make the right confessions to what you want in your life. If you want your bank account to be full, then you need to talk to it. Yeah, go to work and find a job, but, you know, I mean, it's amazing. I'll tell you something. I mean, you'd be astounded if I tell you how God's blessed me this year. I'm not going to say it because some of you will just get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you, he blessed me so much, I couldn't believe it. I might tell Pastor Ken, but he'll blow him away tomorrow morning. He said, what happened to Ken? Oh, he's gone. He's running down the road right now, catching up to the blessings. I'll go this way and pick on this guy over here. So think like God. What does that mean? Well, find out what think like what the word says. What does it say about you? You say, well, my bank account's, you know, this money's going out there like crazy. Well, this money's coming in too, though. More's coming in than going out, right? Remember to speak right. Make the right confession. We'll have to tell you the next one because we're getting late here. So let's go back to our scripture. It says here, for verily I say to you that whosoever, say, I am. Whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And we're talking specifically here about finances regarding this scripture. You could use it for everything. Faith works for everything. Your body too. Tell your body, you start acting properly. You be straight. I started talking to my neck because my neck was starting to get bad and my back was funny. I said, thank God my back's straight. Thank God my neck's straight. I started talking to my body. And you better start working. Thank God. And it started working. I just could feel it clicking up like this. And I gained about an inch now. I was going like this. Praise God. So, you're going to have what? What the conservatives are saying? Liberals. Bloc Québécois. The Green Party. Well, they say you're the grab it bunch. Well, maybe you are. We need to grab what we can grab. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you tonight in the name of Jesus for all the giving that's going on in the church tonight. People are giving away cars in this church. People are giving away jewelry they don't have. Amen? Giving away land they got, a piece of land. Say, well, that's a 2x3 little piece of land there. Well, it's mine. I have it. Praise God. You have to believe that. Well, how do you believe it? Well, you find what the word says and stick with it. Say, thank God. This scripture belongs to me. So what if I get scared? Well, you do it scared. What if I feel silly? Well, you still do it while you feel silly. What if my friends say something? Well, you do it again. If your friends will say it, you keep doing it. Then all of a sudden they say, man, what's happened to you? You painted your house. Huh? And I notice you have new shoes every Sunday. Well, that check came in. What check? Well, I don't know. Check's been coming in every week. There's a little dog came by here in my house with a bag of money in it. Amen, right? Well, what kind of dog was it? Doesn't matter, but it came in. Hey? Somebody kept sending me EMTs. Who was it? I don't know. It came in. How would you like that to happen to you? Right? Well, then you need to start sending EMTs to me tonight. He said, well, what do you mean, well? Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Does God want you to have a house?
Yes.
Does he want you to have an apartment?
Yes.
Drive a nice car? Have nice clothes?
Yes.
Sleep in a nice, comfortable, king-sized mattress?
Yeah.
Eh? Or a single bed? Eh? Or a mattress on the floor? What do he want you to have?
Yes.
You know, you say, well, as long as I have this coat to lay on here. Eh? Right, Kelly? He said, well, I don't mind. I was like this when I was in Suckle Creek. I know I used to sleep on a mattress like this. I know it has some rat bits in there. Thank God.